Doug bought his first car when he'd been working at his post-graduation job for just a single pay period. As a freshman and sophomore in college, he'd driven his dad's off-white 1974 Ford Thunderbird. His dad needed his car back, leaving Doug afoot. He remained carless for almost 3 years, getting rides from whomever he could, often me. So when he got his first paycheck as an honest-to-goodness engineer, he was eager to get his own wheels. His job was only an entry-level position, and he faced the demands on the check from all directions. There was rent, food, credit card payments, clothing, and all the other things that attend a new career. Thus, his budget was minimal, but his desire and impatience were not. We got the Wichita Eagle early on Saturday morning and looked at the classified ads before all of the good cars were sold. It was a slow weekend for cheap cars, but there was one in his price range in the up to $300 section of the mini markets. It was a 1965 Ford Falcon Ranchero for $150. The phone number was long distance, but Doug invested in the call because he would have a second check by the time the phone bill arrived. The man on the other end, Danny, as I would later learn him to be, promised that it ran. That was good enough for Doug. He got a ride out to Douglas, Kansas, bought the car, and brought it out to my house. He'd negotiated a deal of $145 for a running car, but he had still paid too much. A Ford Ranchero is a pickup version of the Ford Falcon, a compact passenger car. Danny had amputated the back end of this particular example with a welder. The fenders, doors, and hood were all different colors, red and two shades of green. The rest of the car was a rusty blue. All the parts appeared to have come from different donor cars long after death. The front bumper on the passenger side had been bent in a crash and was pointing straight out in front. Two of the mismatched tires leaked fast enough that you could hear them hissing. Doug was proud of his purchase. Nevertheless, he wanted to fix it up before displaying it at the parking lot at work. The first order of business was to straighten the bumper. We found a stout tree, fastened our seat belts, and crashed it into it until it bent back to approximately its original position. Next came the paint job. With such an extravagant purchase price, Doug set out to find the cheapest paint he could. I've heard that barns were painted red because that was the least expensive paint. This was not our experience. The cheapest paint was a gallon can of accidentally mixed latex house paint. It was black. It was so cheap that we bought two brushes. We went to work starting with the hood and fenders. The paint dripped more than we thought it would, and it was full of brush marks, but the car looked remarkably better when it was all one color. It made such a difference that Doug decided to paint the wheels and the hubcaps too. And the bumper. And the grill, leaving no chrome. In a dumpster outside his apartment complex, Doug found some old wooden pallets that someone had thrown away. And using the scraps from these, we built a flatbed to replace the metal one that had been cut off. We painted that black, too, and stood back to admire our work. Standing back was a prerequisite, of course, to any kind of admiring, as was squinting. The whole car was black, without a hint of green, blue, red, or silver. Was this too black? Would it be hard to see in the twilight hours? Since the headlights didn't work reliably, this was an important concern. The solution? I suggested painting a bold racing stripe down the center. We bought a can of Krylon spray paint in white, but were out of funds. No masking tape. The problem with spray paint is that it doesn't go precisely where you direct it. Instead of a sharp line, we ended up, from stem to stern, with a thick, fuzzy stripe. A thick, fuzzy, white stripe down the back of a solid black car. The analogy was obvious instantly. The skunk, with its unique but instantly familiar look, was a hit wherever Doug drove. He eventually sold it for more than he paid, even adding the cost of the new tires. Dramatic results don't always come from the combination of the best components and meticulous planning. Sometimes those things restrain risk and impulse. Sometimes the most dramatic results come from the combination of apparent junk, creativity, and accident. driven by the desire to do the best you can with what you've got.